Sat Nam, everyone, and welcome to the 11 Yogic Arts of Creative Living, a podcast that examines spiritual practices, in particular Kundalini Yoga, through the lens of creativity. The 11 Yogic Arts of Creative Living is a book I recently published, which is a yogic guidebook for artists and an artistic guidebook for yogis, but most of all, an every person's guide to living an extraordinary creative life. I am your host, Raghubir Kintish, and today's episode will be talking about
the art of conceiving.
Another day, another way for me to open up to you.
Was Jamie Liddell, Another Day, that was recorded in 2008. And I thought letting Jamie Liddell let the silence do the talking would be a great way to open up today's episode. So to receive is uplinking to the creative flow, the public access cosmic creativity channel. And after that comes the conceiving part of creativity, where what you pull into your consciousness actually takes root, like what David Lynch means when he gets fragments of ideas and then those fragments attract more fragments to make a whole. And Steve Jobs said that creativity is just connecting things. So in other words, when the ideas come, you have to make sense of them in some manner and allow for them to implant, connect, and synthesize. The word conceive basically means to form, but it has its origins in the old French concevre, which comes from the Latin word concepere, to take fully in or to take in. And one can take in an idea, or an opinion, or in the mind, but it can also conceive a child in the body. And a woman receives, conceives, and delivers in order to give birth to a child. And this great creative act is no different from any other creative enterprise. To conceive implies that the idea or creative inspiration comes from elsewhere, and this is a really important point. Here's a really great quote from Yogi Bhajan. He said, "There is a void in every life. There is a void in every life of an unfulfilled being. How can he be fulfilled? He can be fulfilled if he understands and tries to realize infinity. And how to realize infinity? The infinity can only be realized through one idea only, if you make your thought wave into an idea. There is nothing more powerful on this planet than an idea. An idea is something which is beyond you and which you have grabbed. That's called idea, I-D-E-A. The sound of word idea is a very simple sound. And what is that idea? That I am the part of the infinity. Think, feel, do everything in that shape and form, and you will be the happiest person." So, according to Yogi Bhajan, an idea being something that you have to grab from somewhere beyond you must have fertile ground in which to implant. And it is necessary for you to be in a receptive state, which comes from opening the energy channels, strengthening the nervous system, and diminishing the ego interference. By cultivating awareness, radiance, and intuition, you prepare yourself so that you can recognize what is out there that can be of use to you. All of this prepares your body, mind, and spirit so that the idea, once implanted, can take root in your consciousness and it can grow. So the art of conceiving is a creative person's natural gift, but anyone through practice can at least improve one's ability to conceive. We become better conceivers through the deepening and nurturing of our sensitivity and commitment. Creativity and love come from your sensitivity. A developed sensitivity and character gives you commitment. Commitment, in turn, gives you more sensitivity of character. They are interrelated, and that is how the planet runs. We need the sensitivity to recognize the thought waves and the commitment to transform them into ideas. So the big question is, why is commitment so important in creativity? Well, because commitment is the energy that will eventually bring the idea into reality. Commitment is knowledge within itself. Committing won't get you the knowledge, but when you commit, the knowledge will come to you. So part of the preparation for conceiving the idea, or a baby for that matter, is the commitment energy behind it. In creativity, you get a hunch, and if that hunch has some tack, you'll stick to it. And that's how it works. So the law of creativity is driving both the conscious conception of a child and the conscious conception of an idea. The conception phase is very exciting for me. Feels a lot like the atmosphere right before it's going to rain. The liminal electromagnetic space between feeling the air pressure and experiencing the first lightning strike, well, you know what, well, everybody out there knows what that feels like, just prior to the first raindrop. It's in that very moment that you know that all the energy in the air is going to manifest into something wet and wonderful, and I find that feeling intoxicating.
Get me through my day. Watching you sleeping, I cry. Yeah, yeah. And please don't make my feel good go away. A little bit of feel good goes a long way. I need your touch to get me through my day.
When I am working or beginning to work on a project, I'm not sure of the direction it will ultimately take. There is an excitement that is difficult to describe except to say that it's a moment full of 100% possibility. Now, Kenyatta A.C. Hinkle, who is an interdisciplinary artist, performer, and a writer, I was watching a video of hers, and she talked about this art of conception, and it really hit the nail on the head. So I put her quote, I transcribed it and put her quote into my book. She says, "I don't know what the work is going to look like. I know what it's going to feel like. I know what I want people to feel. Then they go into that space, and then it's just a matter of finding that visual language. I'm in the midst of all these blankish red cadmium red canvases, but I know that they're getting ready to burst into being or to become something. And this is the conception phase." You can't talk about the excitement and anticipation of the conception phase of creativity without talking about the feel-good neurotransmitter and hormone, dopamine. It is released by the brain when we satisfy cravings or when we have sex, or basically any activity that contributes to our pleasure and satisfaction. You can think of the release of dopamine as a neurochemical reward that boosts your motivation and makes commitment easier because it increases your focus and your attention, and thus it enables you to stay on track. In all those lab experiments, it's the dopamine that prompts a rat to press the lever for food over and over again. And guess what? Humans act just like the rats, and that is why addiction is so prevalent among us. We love the feeling that dopamine gives us just before something we think might make us feel good is going to happen. The caudate nucleus, which is involved in the anticipation of pleasure, seeps dopamine just before peak moments of cognition or emotional resonance. Just like for me, before it starts raining, which is why it makes me so happy. So dopamine is not the only neurotransmitter involved in creativity. Serotonin is the other. Baba Shiv, a marketing professor at Stanford's Graduate School of Business, whose research focuses on the role neural structures play in decision-making and economic behavior, is especially intrigued by the biological roots of creativity. According to his findings, creativity resides at the intersection of two primary pathways in the brain. On one pathway, serotonin is responsible for whether you are operating from a sense of calm or from a position of anxiety and fear. And on the other pathway, dopamine is responsible for your anticipatory excitement and engagement rather than apathy and boredom. For most creatives, neurologically speaking, of course, a high level of both serotonin and dopamine would be ideal, thus enabling you to be calm and energized at the same time, and arriving in this blissfully creative state where your hormones and your neurotransmitters are in perfect balance is the reason that we are doing Kundalini Yoga to support creativity. Now, a big effect of Kundalini Yoga is how it heals our nervous system, balancing the parasympathetic, which calms you, and sympathetic, which excites and alerts you. An effective meditation to engage your chill-out response, for example, would be to listen to the gong. Now, understanding how the brain works during the process of creativity, which can be incredibly exciting in this conception phase, might encourage you to meditate and make art more often, both of which increase pleasure and connect you to the flow of creativity. Since the caudate nucleus acts like an antenna that receives and transmits frequencies, it is a useful tool for telepathy and contacting the universal mind, downloading cosmic knowledge, and it is thought to have the ability to act as the higher self's microphone and speaker. So at the beginning, when I started talking about the subject, I said that the art of conception was really the nucleus of creativity. And it really is a nucleus, because the caudate nucleus is responsible for getting excited about the work that you're doing. So if you looked at a picture of a caudate nucleus, it's kind of funny because it looks just like those kind of old-fashioned Bluetooth headsets that we used to wear before we started with those ear pods or whatever they're called, earbuds. But it has this funny little thing that looks like it slips behind the ear. So aside from all this wonderful, juicy, paranormal stuff, the caudate nucleus is mostly known as the part of the brain responsible for learning and memory. But wait, there's more. It is said when activated, the caudate nucleus is capable of bilocation, telekinesis, remote viewing, zapping viruses, bacteria, fungi, and parasites, neutralizing harmful electromagnetic frequencies and toxins, clairvoyance, and teleportation. Well, sounds a lot like the job description of the aura to me. In 2006, a neuroscientist from the University of Montreal put out a call for volunteer nuns, quote, who have had an experience of intense union with God, unquote, in order to answer the question, is there a God spot in the brain? And in his Scientific American article, Searching for God in the Brain, David Biello writes about these nun experiments. He says, the researchers found six regions that were invigorated only during the nun's recall of communion with God. The spiritual memory was accompanied by, for example, increased activity in the caudate nucleus, a small central brain region to which scientists have ascribed a role in learning, memory, and recently, falling in love. The neuroscientists surmise that its involvement may reflect the nun's reported feeling of unconditional love. So it's really important to understand that even though this is very scientific, it's also incredibly cosmic. And there are a lot of things that one can do in order to bring these two sort of ways of looking at it together. So one way to do it is to meditate to achieve an experience of the neutral mind. Because when you have the neutral mind activated, you're able to pick up signals and you're able to be highly sensitive to what's going on around you. And it creates a very receptive constitution, energetic constitution, so that you can receive signals and you can take an idea and translate it into a useful information that can help your creative self bloom. So here are some highlights from The Art of Conceiving, which I think are worth repeating. One, the law of creativity, what Yogi Bhajan said, is to conceive, flourish, and deliver. Number two, to conceive implies that the idea or creative inspiration comes from elsewhere. Number three, at the act of creative conception, you are as if instantly transforming a thought wave into an idea. So that conception phase, just like with conceiving a baby, is that you transform this thought form into an idea that you can use and that can grow. Four, you need fertile ground in which to implant. So that means healthy receptivity. So like, you know, meditating on the neutral mind would be one. Also keeping your energy channels and the creative flow open, you could strengthen your nervous system and work on diminishing your ego interference, because there's nothing worse than the ego when it comes to the art of, you know, conceiving. Number five, sensitivity in character will give you commitment, and commitment in turn gives you more sensitivity of character, and they're interrelated and crucial to the understanding of this art of conceiving. Number six, commitment is so important. Even though it seems to appear to us at the beginning of the process, it does not start anything. Commitment is the end in itself. Also, commitment is a great way to build your radiant body. And the more you commit, the more radiance you are capable of having. So commitment is a good thing. The law of creativity is driving both the conscious conception of a child and the conscious conception of an idea. And last, number eight, the art of conceiving will give you the experience of magic happening, partly because it produces that neurochemical reward in the brain, but mostly because, and this is the key ingredient here, but mostly because it's the start of something big. Now, this whole series is about the art of creative living. And the art of conceiving is a very important and pleasurable part of creative living because, like I said before, it is where the true magic happens, the pure, utterly delectable magic happens inside of this phase. Artists like to be there because it's just before you start working on your project and in this reality, and there's so much possibility, anticipation, yes, and the feel-good brain chemicals too. So as a creative person, when you don't know what is going to happen, but you have the commitment in place to go forward, it is literally like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. So for many people, you know, especially performers, that being or conceiving in the moment is the feeling that they love the most. For others, it can be the most terrifying. That's why a lot of people may choose to be like visual artists as opposed to performance artists, because they're terrified of like that, you know, doing something in the now. But for others, it's the most exciting experience in the universe. Now, Herbie Hancock, the musician, said, "You can practice to learn a technique, but I'm more interested in conceiving of something in the moment." And if you could just even consider that, if you can consider living your life, your entire life, of your life just being a constant state of conception, then you'd be sort of living on this, you know, on this really exciting moment-to-moment edge of making something as it happens. I think that would be like the most remarkable way to live. What do you think?
If I could swallow the sky and the mountains too, I'd do it so there'd be nothing to fall on you. 'Cause in a world full of wonder, don't let it all pull you under. Still, a little wonder left in you. And all I wanna do, oh, oh, show you how easy it could be. Oh. Say there's no roads where we're going. Let's prove them wrong. If I could, I would level the land so we could keep moving on. 'Cause in a world full of magic, it's never, never tragic. Still a little magic left in you. And all I wanna do, oh, oh, show you how easy it could be. Oh, dream.
Thanks, everybody, for spending some time with me, listening to my podcast, The 11 Yogic Arts of Creative Living. I really enjoy spending time sharing this information with you. This is from my book, 11 Yogic Arts of Creative Living. I also published a book called The Workbook for the 11 Yogic Arts of Creative Living. Both of them came out last year. You can find them on Amazon in ebook or soft cover editions. And what did I want to say? Oh, yes. So I was also playing two other songs by Jamie Liddell. The first one was a little bit of Feel Good. And the last one, which I just played, is called All I Want to Do. That was the first song that got me interested in his work. Thanks a lot for hanging out with me. I really appreciate it. It was fun. Sat Nam.